The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Whistler from Topeka, Indiana, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back. Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, episode 39. Hey, everyone. This is Matthew McCabe.
This is Steve Anderson, and we are here to help youth workers to keep going. Dude, welcome to 2019.
Man, it is crazy. How is it 2019?
I have no idea. This is science fiction right here.
I'm telling you, the calendar is tearing off at a pace I am very uncomfortable with at this stage of my life.
I totally agree with you.
But nonetheless, here we are, 2019.
What are you going to do?
You know what? How was your break?
You know, it was really good, actually. I was kind of nervous going into it because, you know, our family situation isn't what it's always been because the boys have gotten older. They're adults now. So, you know, those fond Christmas memories of little children gathered around the tree are no more.
They don't play out as well anymore, do they?
You don't know who's going to show up when and, you know, when they're available and working and who's going to be at which gathering. But we actually had some really good family times and, it was good.
That's
and
awesome.
You know what we got.
Oh. What'd you get?
For Christmas.
What'd you get? Oh, I know what you got for Christmas. You got a hot tub, didn't you?
We did get a hot tub.
Oh, my goodness. That is the greatest thing ever.
So there were a couple moments where we were, as a family, in the hot tub.
Oh.
So does it get any better than that?
I don't know if it does get any better than that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Those are special times.
Yeah. We had everybody home on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, which was nice.
You're still able to gather everyone in one room.
Still everybody's in one room.
At least some point, huh?
Yep, exactly. Good. Now, we didn't start doing anything on Christmas morning until I think it was 11:45 when the final child, groggily rolled out of their bed. So that was a little different from, again, years gone by where they're jumping in your bed at, 5:15 in the morning. So it was very relaxing.
That's
it was
nice.
And then we took forever. And our tradition is to have frozen pizzas for Christmas dinner because we just don't feel like cooking and doing a big deal. So we literally just lay around in our pajamas all day and about 4:30 throw in frozen pizzas and have some chip dip.
You guys really know how to live.
We're tearing it up.
I'm coming to party at your house.
The Rockefellers, we are not. I'll tell you that.
Speaking of Rockefellers.
I'm curious where you're going to go. Do this. Calm me off guard, but do this. I'm very curious as to how Rockefellers.
It's a connection in my mind that doesn't make sense to anyone else. I read this book about this guy who impersonates Rockefellers.
Oh, you told me about this
guy. And his name is Clark. And I sent you Clark Griswold.
You did send me Clark Griswold for Christmas. It was glorious.
I don't know where that connection came from in my head. But anyway. So you had a special guest this Christmas.
Yeah. A good friend of mine. good friend of mine across the table from me right now sent me a cardboard cutout of Clark Griswold. Clark W. Griswold.
I saw that. So we were buying a cardboard cutout for our Christmas party for the youth ministry. And I bought Buddy the Elf. I'm sure a few other youth groups probably bought Buddy the Elf too, right? So I'm looking at the cardboard cutouts for Christmas season, and I see Clark, and I thought, this has to get delivered to the McCabe household. Because I know you love Clark.
Oh, we watch Christmas Vacation every Christmas Eve. It's a tradition in our home. The box showed up, and I'm unpacking this box. It's addressed to me.
It came early. It was supposed to come on a Wednesday. It came on over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, it came early, and I'm unpacking this thing, and I'm like, this is a cardboard cutout of Clark. And my wife is like, who sent this? And I'm like, there's no return address. There's no name. There's no note. There's nothing. I said, there's two people in my life who would send me a cardboard cutout of Clark Griswold. And you were one of the two. And it turns out it was you. And I'm telling you what, we had some serious fun with that it's like an 8-foot cutout of Clark Griswold. I hid it in my kid's room. I hid it in my in-law's bathroom. People were being frightened daily over Christmas. It was
That's awesome. Fantastic.
It was so much fun.
I saw the picture of Clark up in your upper window looking out over the yard.
Yeah, every now and again, we'd put it in the window so that people that would look at the house would see this intimidating figure standing in the window. It was so great.
That's good. That's good.
It was so good. Now we're in the New Year's.
We are.
So, you know, New Year's, everybody's thinking about, you know, New Year's resolutions. They're thinking about a new you or new me. And
yeah.
Do you make any resolutions or goals or I don't know what you even call them anymore?
You know, I'm actually pretty serious about it. I make a whole list of goals, different areas of life. Like I have creative goals. I have physical goals. I have spiritual goals. So, yeah,
wow.
I'm going to read 25 books this year.
Ooh, that's aggressive. I like that.
Yeah, I try to do that. I'm going to go to the gym 100 times.
Wow.
In theory.
In theory.
I had that as a goal last year.
How many times did you go last year?
I don't know. Probably 40.
All right. So that's a good goal. It's an aggressive goal.
I'm going for it. And, you know, I have some other goals in my personal spiritual rhythm, which we'll talk about. You know, in the weeks ahead. But yeah, I take it pretty seriously because for me, I have a state of mind where the new year means a lot to me in terms of changing some of my patterns. So that's what I want to be
it's
about.
It's a fun time of the year to kind of think about who you are as a person and who you want to be and what kind of changes you need to make. So a lot of people are down on resolutions or whatever because most people give them up or whatever. But I still think it's healthy to take a good look at who we are, and then a good look at who we kind of wish we were, and then make the appropriate changes. And so,
well, you're carrying a cheese stick around, so apparently.
Well, I have less specific goals, but I do need to be physically healthier, and so I've made some lifestyle changes.
Trading in the Cheetos for cheese sticks.
Trading in empty carbs for more protein and based things. And
okay.
So we're 6 days into that. We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, so far so good, and I feel good, and I feel better. I'm encouraged, and I'm not looking to make some radical changes. Just some simple, get rid of a couple things, add a couple things, and I was up this morning at 5:15 and at the gym and got my workout in.
So good for you.
Ready for the day.
Good for you.
Ready for the day.
I forgot to tell you one of my goals.
What is one of your goals?
One of my goals is to be in the hot tub every night at 9:45 with my wife.
That is a...
Isn't that a great goal?
Absolutely incredible goal. I'm jealous. I don't have a hot tub. I have a wife. And I would like to be in a hot tub at 9:45 with my wife every night, but...
If you had to choose whether you had a wife or a hot tub, you should definitely go with the wife.
100%.
But if you can go with both...
That's definitely
I would go
also
with both.
An option. Yeah. So I actually... This is the creepiest thing. So, and I know we're going on a little tangent here, but work with me.
We are out of whack
today. But
work with me.
You know how sometimes you have conversations with people and then you get online and you see ads for that thing because like your phones are listening to you? You know that?
Yes, yeah, creepy.
It's creepy. This is the creepiest. I had a dream one night that we bought an inflatable hot tub.
No way.
Which I didn't even know existed, but I had a dream. The next day, there was an ad on my Instagram feed for an inflatable hot tub.
Google is in your dreams.
They're
reading your dreams.
I just about lost my mind. That's crazy. Anyway,
that's so
I did
weird.
Not buy said inflatable hot tub because I think if you're going to buy a hot tub, inflatable is not the way to go. I think you got to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a conversation with a guy about a pizza shop one day that I'd never heard of. He mentioned this pizza shop somewhere in Maryland. The next day, it was in my Google feed as an ad.
It's like it's 1984.
It creeped me out, man. Like, what are the chances?
Not many people will get that reference, will they?
What?
The 1984. It's like 1984. It's 1984. Big Brother is listening.
Yes,
yeah.
I
George
get the
Orwell.
Reference.
You get the reference.
Had to read that in high school.
Yeah, I did too. Anyway, so we just thought that, looking at that new us is let's take a look at us as youth workers. Not necessarily programming as we kind of come into this new year for our podcast. Programming or tips or trips for how to do something better, but more who are we and how can we be better and how can we avoid some of the things that can often trip up a youth worker.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to get to this date next year, let's say early January 2020, And we look back. Are we going to be better people? Mm-hmm. Are we still going to be doing youth ministry?
Right.
Are we going to be the best version of ourselves that we can be? So we want to talk about that for a couple of weeks, a couple episodes. We have some thoughts about how to avoid burning out.
Yep. Some thoughts on how to avoid falling down.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, how to avoid drying up spiritually. Yep.
Three things that can really cripple a leader in their youth ministry and keep them from, reaching next year at this point in time or 10 or 20 years from this point. And, again, what we're about is trying to keep you in the game for the long haul.
Right. So today we were going to talk about burnout.
Burnout. Crispy. Yeah. feeling a little crispy around the edges.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been in a place, Matthew, where you felt like you were burning out?
I have. I've probably multiple times over the last 25 or 28 years. Mm. I can remember specifically feeling, I think I'm at the end of my rope. I don't think I can move forward. Just got to a point where I was so emotionally spent, so physically tired, so spiritually kind of dry that I just was thinking, I don't think I can make it. It was tough. One of them was pretty recent. One of them was this summer before I went on sabbatical. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, I didn't realize it.
I was going to ask you, did you sense it coming on or how did you get there?
I felt it a little. I mean, I felt it over the course of say 6-8 months where I just wasn't as motivated. I wasn't as productive. I wasn't as excited about everything that was happening. Everything was a little bit mundane, a little bit, kind of just one day after the other, one task after the other. And then I read a book by Carrie Newhoff right away, one of the first books I read on my sabbatical. And he has a whole section in this book on this idea of burnout. And he had this little quiz, like if you feel any of these nine or 10 things, then you might be in trouble. You might be burning out to the point where you're not going to be able to function anymore.
Right.
And when he went through all the things, I was like, that one too. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here. And then I was able to see it more clearly. But of course, the beautiful thing was, because God is good, I was on my first week of an 8-week sabbatical. And so I had the space to turn the ship around, kind of get uncrispy, to kind of refresh a little bit and come back, and be ready to go again, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think are the causes? What do you think causes burnout, Steve? Because I'm sure you've been there before.
I have. And similarly to you, I think I've been there fairly recently, actually. And I think there's a lot of things. I think there's circumstances that hit us from outside youth ministry, family situations and stuff like that, which we've had some in my family over the last couple of years with my parents and stuff. But, as far as like ministry stuff, the things that cause it, I think our personality types kind of play into it to some extent. So we were talking before we started the show today, you're a type A personality.
I am.
So you're high energy, you like to get things done, you're a doer.
I'm a doer, I like to be in charge.
Like
to be in control.
You like to see things done, your way, efficiently, and right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's correct.
Aren't happy when they're not getting done.
Correct.
Right? I'm kind of the flip side of that personality. I'm more the creative type, so that manifests itself in, it has to be done the way I want it to be done.
The way you pictured it in
your head. The way I pictured it in my head. And so that control comes in. I want it to be done to my satisfaction and my creative vision for it. So all of that leads to, we don't always allow others to pick up the slack and delegate well and put ourselves in a place where we're not reliant upon ourselves to carry the ball.
Right, right. Both of those personalities lend to control, which leads to probably hanging on a little too tight.
Yes.
And doing more things than we should be doing, just from a time and energy standpoint. But, there's all kinds of ripples of not allowing others to lead as well, which is a whole other conversation for another day. But at the end of the day, the more control we hold over it, the more we do, the higher likelihood that we're going to feel crispy. We're going to feel tired. We're going to feel worn out because it's like, I know for me, like I will myself be the one that is controlling and holding on to things and not giving them away. But then when I get tired, then I'm frustrated with the people around me
right.
because I seem to be doing like 98% of the stuff around here, and who else is going to, you know, step up? But at the end, but in reality, I'm the one who didn't let them step up.
Right.
So when I get to that crispy point, I probably have only myself to blame.
Yeah. I think a lot of youth pastors work out of the savior complex.
Sure.
You know, we think that we are the answer to everything. We have to handle every problem, or, you know, every kid who's struggling, we have to be the one who steps in.
We swoop in. And
that's a dangerous place to be because, first of all, if we have, you know, any sense of how much capacity we have, we're not able to really help that many people in the first place.
Right.
And we're also, you know, giving ourselves way too much credit
mm-hmm.
for being able to do God's work.
But it's easy to do. Because if there's any, I mean, I don't consider myself a highly prideful person. I mean, I have lots of other hang-ups. That's not one of my major hang-ups. But I certainly have enough pride in me
right.
to know that if I kind of hang on to that savior complex, that feeds that. You know, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
You know, these people need me.
Right.
You know, this student in trouble, this parent that's struggling, like,
it's a good feeling.
Somebody else might be able to help them, but I could really help them. And
right.
so, yeah, it feeds it. And again, it's not healthy for us, right, from a standpoint of what we have to give, because eventually the cup is empty. Eventually the well runs dry of what we can give. It's also not good for them then, because if we're trying to give in that empty position, they're not getting the help and support they actually need.
Yeah.
Somebody else could actually do a considerably better job
yes.
than I could do.
Or the blockage to them actually moving forward.
Yeah,
I've definitely been that before in people's lives.
Yeah.
So those are a couple things I think that can cause it.
Mm-hmm. What are some indicators? When you're feeling crispy, what are those things that make you realize, oh, I think I'm going down a dangerous road here?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned those things that Carrie Newhoff listed, and we'll put those in the show notes. But a few of those that I've recognized at times in my life, kind of an emotional dullness,
mm-hmm.
Lack of real excitement for what I'm doing. You know, there have been times in youth ministry, most times in my life as a youth pastor, where, you know, I get super excited about the retreat or the next meeting that we have or what's happening in, you know, some kid's life or Bible study or whatever. And then there's times where those things are happening and I'm like, meh.
It'll happen.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, and I've actually a couple times been standing in worship at our youth ministry. Things are going well and I'm looking around the room and the thing that used to just jazz me and just make me burst with love and pride for this thing, I've been standing there like, yeah, you know what? If I was home right now in the hot tub, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. I'd like to be home watching the game instead of.
Yeah. So I think that emotional dullness.
One thing that I've noticed in myself, and it's from Carrie's list, when I read his list and that he has in his book, this jumped off at me. You become disproportionately angry
mm-hmm.
at small things.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, especially over the years, I've sort of learned that trigger, that when I find myself mm-hmm. just, whether externally or even just internally, mm-hmm. just losing my mind about the dumbest little thing, mm-hmm. and a lot of times I'll need somebody to get my wife, or I'll need one of my kids, or I'll need one of my coworkers to be like, dude, seriously, you are making a big deal about nothing. Because in my mind, I've made it huge, and I'll have someone just look at me like, are you joking right now?
Yeah.
And then that's when I go, oh, then I know I got to take a deeper look at what's really going on, because I might be getting pretty close to some serious crispiness because I'm just losing my mind. I'll notice it when I drive. I'm terrible when I drive. Like, when I'm in a good place, if somebody's driving slow in front of me, oh, maybe they're teaching their kid how to drive. I just have all this grace in the world. But when I'm burnt out and I'm kind of moved, I mean,
yeah,
you make a mistake on the road in front of me and I will lose my mind. And I think, why? For what reason? Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I had to bail you out of that jail that one time for your road rage incident.
I don't think that happened. You're making stuff up now, Steve.
Are you sure?
Wait, did you?
I don't think I did.
I did have to get bailed out of a jail in Chicago once, but it was for turning right on a red where it was posted not to turn right, and I didn't have any cash, and I had an out-of-state license, so they took me to the station.
Are you serious?
And I had to stay there until the money was paid. So I had to. I was in college. I had
wow.
to send
That's
word.
Harsh.
I had to send word back to my roommate to start collecting money on the dorm to see if I could get $50 to get out of the station.
That's harsh.
It was terrible.
I think Chicago got what it deserved yesterday.
Yeah, it did. That's
oh,
right.
Oh,
burn.
Oh.
You're yeah. just happy because the Ravens lost.
I am happy because the Ravens lost. But anyway, so can you remember anything else Carrie Newhoff said?
Yeah, actually, one of the ones that I also picked up and is I tend to be a pretty again I'm kind of a happy-go-lucky. I like to see the bright side of life. I like to think positively. But when I'm burnt out, I become cynical.
Mm.
I question mm-hmm. everybody's motives, and I microanalyze every little thing someone says, and I think, oh, and I make, again, big deals about little things, and I project things onto people, and it gets really, usually when the people around the office are starting saying, oh, Matthew's cynical side is coming out, I know, uh-oh, that means I'm probably a little crispy because I'm not typically cynical, but people in the office think I am.
Hmm.
And so it manifests itself kind of
yeah.
in my work environment.
I've seen the cynicism rise up in myself when there's something good spiritually happening in somebody's life. And I'm like, ah, yeah, that won't last.
Oh.
Or, you know, well.
That's a hard thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
No,
that's
not
a bad place
good place
to be.
No,
that's not good at all. There's also times where I just feel this super lack of energy for what I'm doing. I'll sit down, I can't write a message to save my life, or I just have no energy to plan things, and I can feel that, and coffee doesn't help. Sometimes sleep doesn't even help.
Yeah.
And I just realize, wow, what is up with this? This is more than physical. There's something else going on here.
Yep. Yeah. That's on Carrie's left. When sleep and rest don't refresh anymore.
Right. Right.
You're definitely in a tough place.
So, yeah, these are all some indicators of possibly being in a place of burnout. And maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh.
Oh, that sounds like me.
Yeah, hopefully you're not. You know, hopefully you're coming into 2019, you're fresh, you're ready to go. But this could be a preemptive strike against some of these things that could creep in this year. And maybe we can help you avoid some of them.
So if it's a preemptive strike, so what are the preventative measures or what's that word again?
Yeah. There's two words. They mean the same thing.
Really?
Preventive and preventative.
Well, why do we need the second word then?
I don't know, because English is weird. I looked it up because I'm like, which word is right? And they're both words.
Okay.
Isn't that strange?
Well, anyway, preventative.
You can use the one that's easier for you to say.
Preventative is what flows off my mouth.
Preventative.
Yes, preventative.
You can put as many t-t-t-t-s in there as you want.
Yeah. Preventative is the one that
we can just add words to the English language.
Preventative is the one that flows easiest for me. So
okay,
anyway,
go with that one.
What are some preventative measures? How do we, as leaders, youth leaders, youth workers, avoid some of these indicators, some of these traps that lead us into burnout?
Well, having been in this place a few times, I think the first thing that I want to do when I feel this coming on is I want to talk to somebody about it. I need to talk to a friend. I have a coach I talk to. Someone, my wife, I need to be able to express this and talk through it and not just be embarrassed by it.
Sure.
And keep it to myself.
Yeah, and even to have somebody then that will hold you accountable as you try to make the changes you need to make to not be in this place anymore.
Yeah, and kind of spiritually guide you through it, because it isn't a sign of weakness. I mean, it may have been caused by some behavior and some patterns that aren't healthy, but it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of someone who was really dedicated to what we do. And so we end up in this place where suddenly we are, or not so suddenly, we find ourselves unable to do it because we're burning out. So I think we need to be able to talk to somebody about it.
Have an accountability partner mm-hmm. and spiritual guide.
A
I like
friend,
that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
We've talked about this on this podcast before, but we have to practice Sabbath rest.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that we have...
As a pattern.
As something we do consistently. Not when we think we need it. Because typically, when you think you need it, it's probably a little too late.
Yeah.
When you actually realize you need it. So to build a pattern of, this is the day that I'm going to rest. This is the day that I'm going to step aside from my normal everyday duties. And I'm going to just rest. Just be. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, I think burnout is almost inevitable.
Can I share my rhythm for this year?
You can.
Is that appropriate, this is
a great idea.
This point in the show. So, you know, the last couple of years I thought about, as I came into 2017, 2018, it didn't flow real smoothly. I felt myself out of rhythm, and I struggled those 2 years, to be honest, for different reasons. But I came into this year and I wanted to have a different pattern and rhythm in my life. And I sat down before the year started and I tried to pray through what God wanted me to do. And he led me to this word. The word is unhurried.
I like it already.
Unhurried, not because I'm so busy, because I'm honestly not as busy as I was 5 or 10 years ago. Just confessionally honest, because I have staff now and my own kids are out of the house. I'm not as crazy busy as you are or as I was when the kids were home. But I was still living with a busy mindset where I wasn't in the moment. I was always thinking about the next thing to do and kind of rushing, whether I'm rushing through the building, rushing up the steps, driving fast,
right.
Not stopping to pray in the morning, those kinds of things. So unhurried. And what I want to do to create that sense of unhurried is I'm flipping my devotional time to the evening.
Okay.
Because in Genesis 1, when it talks about God's creation, he says there was evening and there was morning the first day. There was evening and the morning the second day. And the Jewish Sabbath began at sundown. Their day began at sundown. And I thought, well, what if my day, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, if I could flip it to begin when I go to bed?
In the evening.
And so what I'm trying to do as I enter 2019 is I'm trying to turn off all the social media and the computer at like 9 o'clock, 9:15, shut my brain down, stop wasting time, spend a little bit of time with God, meet my wife in the hot tub at 9:45. We connect, we catch up on the day because she works and we're busy, and then I go to bed. And when I get up in the morning, I'm good to go.
And you're ready to go.
I walk the dogs, and I go to the gym, and I'm ready to start the day. And it's, you know, it's day 7, 8 now that we're in that, and that seems to be working for me. And I think it's going to lead to a better state of health.
That's awesome.
Now, I realize that not everybody can do that. If you got little kids at home.
That's not happening.
You know, that's not going to happen. I get that. If you got teenagers at home, there ain't no way you're getting to bed at 10 o'clock, let alone, you know. 12 o'clock.
But the reality is to figure out who you are, what your circumstances are, and build a pattern, build a habit of having that Sabbath rest.
Sabbath rest daily and weekly and, you know, quarterly and so forth. Yes.
Absolutely.
You have to have that.
I have to have it.
The reason that we have to have that is because that's how God made us. If you read the scriptures, you know, there's a reason he rested on the seventh day. He built that into the universe. It's built into the soil. It's built into everything, all of life. Animals rest, right?
Yep.
We have to take that or else we're going to burn out. We're not superhuman.
Yep, correct. It's also good to make sure you're taking time for things that bring you life.
Yes.
And yes, we work in a profession where a lot of what we get to do, we can pass off as bringing us life. Because it does.
It does. It's fun.
Because there's joy in leading a retreat. And there's joy in watching a student, you know, the light come on in their life. That's all things. But but what are the things that you like to do, that you want to do, that when you're done, you'll think, oh, I'm glad I did that. And just feel refreshed and feel kind of alive. And make sure you have time for that.
Yes. You've got to do that.
Got to do it.
I play basketball every Thursday morning.
Beautiful.
I got to do that.
Got to do it.
As long as I'm able, I'm going to play basketball on Thursday mornings.
Because that refreshes you. It brings you life.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I love to go out to dinner with my wife.
Beautiful thing. I love to play golf. I like to play golf with Steve.
Yes. It's fun.
It's a good time. We have a good time.
It brings us life if we're not chucking clubs.
True. I'm the culprit of that most of the time. Maybe. I like to watch TV. I do. I mean, I'm just simply love a good story.
Yes.
And so for me, 45 minutes just kind of lost in somebody else's life and story that's not real. And I know it's not real. My wife reminds me all the time, hey, you know this is not real. When I'm watching This Is Us and the tears are flowing, you know, she says, you know this isn't real, right? I mean, it's real to me because I'm in the story and I like that. When I'm finished with that, I feel that slows me down enough to rest.
That's so good.
I make it happen. Yes. Gotta make it happen.
I read books. That helps me.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So whatever it is.
What is it for you? What brings you life? What brings you joy? And just make sure that you are budgeting time for that, because ministry can be all consuming. It just can be. And so you're going to squeeze those things out, those things that you want to do, because they seem selfish, they seem self-serving when time gets short. But don't do it.
Because the truth is, you will be more effective, more efficient. You'll make better use of your time if you're practicing a rhythm of rest, if you're doing the things that bring you life, if you're talking to somebody about the emotions that you're experiencing. If you do those things and take the time for them, you are going to save yourself time in the end, because you're going to be a healthier person.
Right.
And I think, you know, we've both been in that place where we haven't listened to our own advice in our heads.
Of course.
And found ourselves in places where we're not really getting much done like we wish we were, and feeling badly about ourselves because of it. We don't want to be like that.
Nope. So prevent it when you can. Get that rest in there. Get those things in there that bring you life, and try to avoid getting to that place.
Yep. So
hopefully this has been helpful for you in your journey as a youth worker, trying not to get to the place where you're burnt out.
We're going to talk in the next couple episodes about how to not fall down, how to not dry up. They're going to all be kind of interconnected, but we wanted to set the pace for this year for our listeners to just be in a healthy place emotionally, spiritually, as youth workers, so that we are doing the best we can for the kingdom of God.
Right, because we want you to, we want you to be in a better place this time next year. We also want you to be in youth ministry this time in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years. And if you burn out or you fall down or you dry up, you're not going to make it. And we want you to make it.
That's right.
That's why we're talking about it.
Hey, we have a couple exciting announcements
for
the year ahead.
Drum roll, please.
Yes, we're super excited about our new show.
New feature, new show.
Yes, we have created something called Sherpa Legends.
Yeah, and it releases, the first Sherpa Legend episode releases in 2 days, Thursday.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome.
We're going to try to release one a month, and this is the essence of the show. We are in the process of interviewing the youth ministry legends.
People who you know, people who have been in it for decade after decade after decade.
And the emphasis of our talk with these folks is just to get to know them personally and to hear their story, how they got called into youth ministry, what is it that they're passionate about, how did they follow this calling, and just get the personal, kind of the backstory of some of these youth ministry legends. And we're having so much fun. We've recorded two so far.
How did they stay in it for so long?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's not, you know, how do they program their Wednesday night, or what do they do for missions trips? We're not having that conversation, because that conversation's out there in other places. But this is just, who are you and who did God make you to be? And how did you get to do this thing we call youth ministry? And man, it's been a blast.
So our first interview was with the amazing Heather Fleece.
Oh, it's good. She was
dynamite.
So fun to chat with.
Yeah. So look for that show coming out soon, Sherpa Legends. We're super excited to release that. We hope that you enjoy it.
Absolutely.
So if you want to catch up with us, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook. Instagram's where we spend most of our time, so check us out there.
Yep. If you have not yet, we'd certainly love you to go out to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and tell other people that it's great, or on any of the other podcasting networks that you use. Yeah. Just give us a review so that other people will know about the Youth Ministry Sherpas.
We would greatly appreciate that.
So next week, we will be back with another episode talking about how not to fall down.
Yeah, episode 40. We're going to talk about how not to fall down. And you know, at our age,
But falling down could be dangerous. We're starting to get those stickers on our doors, fall risk.
That's true. We don't want to fall down. We don't want you to fall down. So tune in next week.
Until then, Sherpas out.